So first I want to say Happy Mother's Day. Oh, that's so awkward, right? What do you say? What do you say to the guy pastor that says Happy Mother's Day? Nothing. Thank you. That's a good answer. That's great. So I want to start this morning by acknowledging a reality of Mother's Day. And I said this to the team as we were praying before worship. And I'm so grateful for Maren and Julia's prayer this morning, because for some, Mother's Day is a really hard day. Some of you have recently lost your moms, and that's really, really hard. So today is not a celebration day for you. Others have tried to become moms for so long, so desire to be mothers, and it's a really, really hard thing to celebrate Mother's Day. And then some of you have had really terrible relationships with your moms. Either they have not been the kind of mom that everybody describes in every great movie, or everybody else seems to have a better mom than you did, but some of you have terrible relationships with your mom. So I want to acknowledge that this morning. I want to name that, but I also don't want to not celebrate Mother's Day, right? We can live in the tension of two things in the church, and we can live in those well. So I want to say Happy Mother's Day. I want us to celebrate today. The whole sermon's not about Mother's Day, but I do want to start off saying a couple of things. I wrote in my e-note this week, I got to spend time a few weeks ago with my mom, which is really precious time because they live in Florida right now, and they randomly sort of came up for a visit, and we had a great couple of days with my parents. My dad did what my dad does. He cleaned the car, you know, and he waxed the outside, and he fixed every little thing he could find in the house that was broken. And my mom spent great time with the kids and spent great time with us, and it was really a blessing. I am one of those people who have been really blessed with an incredible mom. Like, I deeply, deeply love my mom. And as I said last week, she is Restoration's biggest fan. Like, she asks always, what's going on at the church? I want to know what's going on. And then I did a wedding last weekend, and Susan and the kids got to come with me, which I have probably done 100 weddings now, and I bet she's probably been to like 3 of them. I mean, she doesn't come to many of the weddings, but they came down, and it was such a gift for me to watch Susan with our kids out on the beach and just playing. And we didn't have to get to sports games, and we didn't have to do homework, and we didn't have to do this. We just played. And to watch how much she loves our children. And I started thinking about all of the ways that you all share stories about the way that you love kids. And that was so powerful. And then when I got back from a trip a couple of weeks ago, I got to be at home when a young family came home for the very first time from the hospital. I got to their house before they did. A little creepy, right? But I did. I arrived and I showed up, and Clay and his mom, Megan, had just arrived home. Megan worships here at Restoration, and I can't believe 2 weeks later they're not in church already, but her and her beautiful, beautiful baby. And I sat there, of course, after I took and held the baby for some time, and I watched how excited she was to be a mom and how much she loved that child. And as she held him and as she looked into his eyes, it brought me goosebumps just sitting there watching her love that child. And then last week, I was talking to one of our volunteers who help out in our Kids Life program here and work with our children. And she said, it's crazy in that room, but it's one of the greatest joys of her life to get to come and hang out with these kids and pour into their lives. Y'all, I think that Mother's Day is a day where we should celebrate all women that pour into the life of children, all women that care about kids, all women that so deeply love them. So I just want to name all of those realities this morning as we jump in. We're in the middle of a sermon series we started last week called Dream. And this sermon series is where we're talking about Restoration's dreams for the future, about all that God is calling us to. And last week I talked about how on our first Sunday in January, it was our third birthday, and how you all brought your dreams forward, and you wrote them on these papers, and you balled them up, and you put them in this little circus tent up front because we were celebrating with a 3-ring circus, because that's what Restoration does. We do things that are weird, and people brought their dreams forward, and they wrote them down. And I opened up those pieces of paper, and I read them, and I prayed over each and every one of them, and I cannot tell you how things started resonating together about your dreams for the future of this church. Your dreams for where we were going. And we said, but if we want to do some of these things, they're going to take us some capital, some money to pull it off. So we knew that we had to do a campaign, and we're in the middle of talking about that and doing that. I also provided this booklet last week. If you didn't pick one, I hope you will pick one up after worship. These are devotional guides. And they'll walk you through the different things that we're talking about. This week we're talking about kids. And I thought it was important that we have a devotional guide that walks through the theology, the understanding of why kids matter, of why God cares about children. So that's going to be available for you. I'd love for every single person who didn't get one last week to please take one. We have plenty of those over there. I knew that if we wanted to make real impact, it was going to take funding outside of our operational budget. And I spoke briefly last week the difference in operations and capital. Operations is the budget that it takes to keep things going day in and day out, and capital is when you have big things that you want to do. But I thought today, as I was thinking about our different topics, it would be really, really good to talk about children. That was important because on Mother's Day, guess what moms want to talk about? Children. Right? The sacrifice that moms make for their kids. It is really, really important to us since the very beginning when we dreamt about caring for kids. We knew that we would have kids in our community. We knew we were going to worship in a school. Doggone it, we were going to take care of kids. And the thing that came up and resonated over and over and over again in your prayers was we need to do more. We need to do more to change the lives of children in this community. And that was really, really important to you. But why do children matter? First of all, I think children are some of the most vulnerable people in our society. Would you agree? Children, you go to many places where there aren't some of the systems in place, and even in our own country where there are systems, children are the most vulnerable people in society. But I also think there's another reason why we should talk about and care about children, why we should interact with children. I think that children have a way of experiencing God that as adults we struggle with. I think that children have an openness to the wonder and the nature of God that as adults we begin to forget about. I think that kids have an ability to connect with God, and I think about my own children. They do this all the time. They have an ability to believe in mystery that I stop doing the older I get. And I want us to hang out with kids, but I'm not the only one who believes this. Jesus actually said it. He said it over and over again. He pushed people to take on the heart of a child, the openness of a child, to be more connected to children. Now, we use phrases with our children when they're very young. We say, stop acting like children. Do you notice that? As parents, sometimes we say, stop doing that. I had a conversation with a mom on the softball field yesterday. And she's a teacher. She's a sixth grade teacher. And I was talking about one of our kids. And she goes, oh, so your kid acts like a child. And I was like, yeah. To tell a kid to stop acting like a child is to tell an adult to stop being a human, right? I mean, they're children. And we tell often young men in their 20s and 30s, stop acting like children, right? Wives often say that to their husbands. But Jesus says, men, this is for you this morning. Jesus says, no. That people should continue to act like children. I want to look at that this morning. I want to jump in to that scripture. I was just told to be careful. Let's see what Jesus says. All right. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. This is for all you guys out there. All right. He called a little child to him, and he placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Woo! That's strong. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Now, I intentionally left off the first part of this passage because you go, well, who's Jesus talking to? What's going on? Why is this important? Jesus is talking to the disciples because the disciples ask a question. Perhaps it's a question my children regularly ask. It's a question that my siblings often say. I never say this, of course, to my parents, but it's a question my siblings often say. And what the disciples essentially say is, who's your favorite? Now, they couch it in this big theological language, who's greatest in the kingdom of God? But really what they're saying is, Jesus, who's the best? Who's your favorite? And Jesus does this really, really interesting thing. He grabs a child. And I don't even think this is a child who they all know. He literally, it says, he calls this child over, this random child, and he goes, him. Now, what do you think that means for the disciples, right? They're these young men who have been following the rabbi. They've got it all together. They're figuring it out. They're not children anymore. And they say, who's the greatest, Jesus? And Jesus goes, this guy. Come over here. And he pulls the kid over, and he literally, physically has the kid stand right there and says, you gotta take on his posture. Because if you don't, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Act more like him and less like you is what he's saying. Take on the nature of this child. Now, I don't think, to get to Sage's point about being careful, what Jesus meant here was that making farting noises was what we should start doing. I don't think Jesus was saying burping ABCs is how we should take on. No. What does Jesus say? What are the actual words? He says, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Not whoever says, I'm one of the special 12. Not whoever says, I'm sure I'm the greatest. It's whoever takes the lowly position of humility, like the child, will be the greatest. How do you think the disciples responded to that? I think what Jesus is saying to them is that it's important to spend time with children. It's not just important for the kids. So often when we volunteer with kids or we do something with kids, we say, well, we're doing it because they need us. I think Jesus is saying to the disciples, you need it. I think Jesus is saying to me, you need it. Because that wonder that the child has needs to rub off on me. That mystery that the child has needs to rub off on me. That humility, that willingness, that curiosity needs to rub off on me. Y'all, it's one of the important reasons I encourage people to volunteer with our kids in Kids Life. What's happening in that cafeteria is some of the most important work we do as the church. To pour into the lives of kids, to get them into a place where they can be creative, where they can use wonder, where they can have conversations about issues related to God, where they can ask the hard questions and not be given the simple answers, but to be able to wrestle with that, that's important. But from the beginning, we also said it's not simply important for kids to be in a separate room. You notice our kids start in worship with us. That's not simply because we're trying to keep them in there for a shorter period of time. It's so they can look around and they can see adults worshiping too. But do you know the other part of it is? I want you to see them. Have you ever heard some of the kids sing in this section right up here? They're louder than all the rest of you. Have you seen the little girls dance up here in worship? Y'all, if the church gets to a place where it stops telling kids to dance in worship, I don't want to be part of that church anymore. If the church gets to a place where the kids can't sing their heart out, I don't want to be part of that. That's what I love about this church. We say kids be kids because we need them to show us. Y'all, every once in a while, one of y'all adults can start dancing with them. I don't care if y'all dance. I'm not going to do it, but y'all can all dance. Because there's something about that abandon towards God that's really beautiful. It's really incredible to see kids say, I'm giving it all. Everything that I have, and I don't care what the other kid says on the other side of me, because I think so much of society says you ought to care what everybody else thinks about you. But the kids come up and they show us with great wonder and curiosity what that looks like. What would it look like if we as adults did more of that? What would it look like? Some of you have been asking, what are we going to do for students in our church? What are we going to do for kids that are aging out of this fifth grade program? This summer, we're going to have dialogue and conversation with parents. We're going to do listening sessions to hear from parents. What is it that you think kids want? But guess who else we're going to listen to? The kids. The ones who are aging in that direction. The ones who have that wonder and curiosity. So be aware that's coming as well. I think in this capital campaign that we call Dream, that Jesus is calling us to do more for kids. It's great that we package meals. It's great that we're being mentors. It's great that we're trying to connect to the community and the school and do things. But I think Jesus is calling us to do more, to invest in the lives of children. Your dreams that you said were that exact same thing. You wanted more impact for kids, and Jesus agrees with you. Look at what he says. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. I don't know if you were here for our Easter festival. We had over 500 people there. It was insane. And some people at the end of the day said, boy, am I tired. And I said, I think this day is so important because Jesus says we should welcome the children. I think this day is so important because welcome does not simply look like saying, come and be us and do what we do, but welcome looks like going out and engaging them. Welcome looks like interacting. God's welcome is not this act of simply standing at a door and shaking a hand. God's welcome is deeply, deeply engaging and connecting, and that's what people are calling for in the life of the church. Since the beginning, we've cared about children. Since the beginning, that's been an important piece for us, and we're not going to stop now. So what are we doing for children in this campaign? A few months ago, a couple of us met with the principal of this school, and we said, hey, if we could find $25,000 or $30,000, what would you do with it? Now, the principal said, not many people come to her and say that. And I said, what if we could? What would be the most important thing? And I was 100% sure, in all of who I was, that she was going to say computers. Right? That's what every principal I ever talked to says. Computers. We just need more computers. We could get a one-to-one that would solve the problem. You know what this principal said? She said books. She said our children in this school need more books. She said the poverty level in this school is over 50% on free or reduced lunch. Many families in our community have books in their homes. She said most of these kids don't have any books in their homes. And a kid needs something like 100 books over the course of a school year to read and engage and grow. So she said, I would like for you to do classroom libraries for some of our classrooms. She said, I know that they're about $5,000 a piece and you can't do every classroom in the school. But for every classroom that you do, you're going to transform a child's life. So we committed with that principal, if our capital campaign goes the way we think it will, we're going to give books. And we're going to help children read. And we're going to spend time with them and connect with them because that was important. Because Jesus said, welcome them. Welcome them. And here's the second thing that we're going to do. The second thing that we're going to do for children in the campaign is around after-school care. In this community, there's a program for kids in second through fifth grade after school, but guess who's left out? Kids in kindergarten and first grade, in my opinion, some of the most vulnerable children. Many of their families work two and three jobs simply to make it, because it's really hard to live in this area if you don't have two or three jobs. Do you know that? It's really hard to live, and many families do that. So their kindergartners and their first graders are staying at home alone. They're not in a safe environment. People aren't helping them with their homework, and that's not because their parents don't care about them. Their parents are doing everything they can in many of these circumstances to care for these children. So about a year ago, 18 months ago, there was a program that came to Reston called Rest On, O-N. That's Opportunity Neighborhood. And the goal of this program is to end child poverty in Reston. That's the goal. And they came to us as a church. They came to Restoration and they said, will you be our faith partner in this? They came to us. We're the three-year-old church. Remember that. They came to Restoration and they said, we want you to be our faith partner. So I'm sitting on the board of that organization. And they came to me and they said, can you start thinking about an after-school program for kindergartners and first graders in this neighborhood, right around this school? What would that look like? So we're trying to help fund the beginning of an after-school program. Rest On has its own funding. It has government funding too, but we're going to help fund an after-school program. I tell you this because I think it's important for us to build into the lives of children. Why? Because Jesus said, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. I think that Jesus calls us to welcome kids. I think that Jesus calls us to pour into the life of kids. I think that's the role of a mom, right? The role of a mom is to love children. And I think a lot of us can learn from mothers what that looks like and how we're supposed to respond to that. If you want to make a difference in the lives of kids in this community, I hope that you'll participate in our dream campaign. There, you'll get something in the mail. That if you go to Restoration regularly, there's an opportunity for you on May 27th to bring a card. And what I want you to do is be praying about what God wants you to do, how God wants you to make a difference in the lives of children. Here's what I want to say to you. There have been some leaders in our church who have already said they want to commit to this. They've already tried to give financially, and they've said this is what we want to do. And I want you to see this diagram. Our goal was to reach $200,000, and our leaders who have already gone before have already given $163,500 of that. And we'd really love it for everybody to participate, because I think making a difference in the lives of folks in our community is a big deal. So I hope that you'll pray about it. I hope that you'll pray and say, God, how do you want me to be part of the dream of the future of this church? These kids are really important. The kids in our community are really important. And I'm so grateful for y'all.